Hey there, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon update for October 2nd. My theme for this broadcast is Red October. Q posts can be found at qmap.pub. Let's get cracking. We've got a little bit of information to cover here. Heading into the midterm elections, Q has often used the term or the signature Red October. There are a lot of possible decodes for it. I'm not trying to be lazy and not come up with some good decodes for Red October. Red October has been correctly decoded in the past with a number of different meanings. I think at this point, for what Q is using it right now, it simply refers to a red wave that is coming to DC. And Q posted on the 30th, Red October. Stay tuned and watch Q+. Q posted this yesterday, quick history lesson, and there's a link to a Twitter status by Chris Evans, who retweeted Kanye West in a not so flattering way, and there's a third link to a tweet by Katrina Peterson. Q asks, why is the D Party fighting to change history? Facts matter. False narrative. The old Democrat Party is now the new Republican Party line is no longer swallowed. Sheep no more. Q. This is a tweet from Chris Evans, who is ragging on Kanye West for his tweet. Chris Evans said, there's nothing more maddening than debating someone who doesn't know history, doesn't read books, and frames their myopia as virtue. The level of unapologetic conjecture I've encountered lately isn't just frustrating, it's retrogressive, unprecedented, and absolutely terrifying. Here's Kanye's tweet. He's got a Make America Great Again hat on. And he said, this represents good and America becoming whole again. We no longer outsource to other countries. We'll build factories here in America and create jobs. We will provide jobs for all who are free from prisons as we abolish the 13th Amendment. Message sent with love. And that's Kanye. And then Q reposted this tweet by Katrina Pearson. White Republican men are evil, they say, but who abolished slavery? Who introduced the 19th Amendment, giving women a voice? Who fought the KKK that was established, owned, and operated by the Democrat Party? And who fought Dems for the 1964 Civil Rights Act? Imagine if they had shut up. Q posted this. It's a previous drop that has that picture inside of an airplane. I believe it's a 787 Dreamliner. And this was from September 29th. The Splash 1-X Air Guard Patrol High, check-in Z. Q asked, how many plane crashes since the post? Standard deviation, Q. I hate it when Q asks about standard deviations and is this normal, and because it's only been a few days and I don't know if it's outside the standard deviation, but it's difficult to find statistics on airplane crashes, especially if it's only been a few days. There haven't been any military crashes since the 29th, at least none that I was able to find. Q previously noted there were a lot of military crashes in a very short periods of time, and I think that's what Q is getting at. The day before Q posted that picture of the airplane and the Air National Guard reference, there was a first ever crash of an F-35 that was on the 28th. Haven't been any military crashes that I know of since then. A couple of small airplane crashes. I think I found news reports of three or four. Just like I said, private small aircraft, nothing military, and no commercial airliners. I believe Q is drawing our attention to the fact that airplane crashes, particularly military ones, have been on the decline since that post on the 29th. But like I said, it's only been a few days. Q then reposted an anon who had a lot to say about an old post from February about John Perry Barlow, Edward Snowden, the Freedom of the Press Foundation, and SecureDrop. It isn't absolutely necessary for you to understand all of that information if you don't want to understand it. You simply need to know that something was exposed by Q and it was dealt with. If you'd like to get the backstory on the people and issues that have been brought up in this particular post, I have that information in a previous Twitter thread. I also have it in a previous video. That video is from February, I think it's February 15th, actually, and it's called Spread the Message Far and Wide. It's a fairly long thread, fairly extensive video, covers a lot of information on John Perry Barlow, Edward Snowden, and all of those topics, but it isn't absolutely necessary, like I said, to understand all that information for this particular post, because Q has a pretty quick summary of what this Anon was asking about. This was the original post that was reposted by the Anon last night. James Dolan, dead suicide. Aaron Schwartz, dead suicide. Kevin Paulson, turned over, secure drop to Freedom of the Press. Secure drop, Freedom of the Press, and then Freedom of the Press, John Barlow's, Snowden, Assange, John Cusack, Daniel Ellsberg, Lee Greenwald, Laura Poitras. And this guy here is making a lot of connections of people and different organizations. Daniel Ellsberg was famous for the Pentagon Papers. Snowden and Cusack co-wrote Things That Can and Cannot Be Said. Glenn Greenwald and Snowden did the article in The Guardian about the exposure of the NSA's spy tools. Laura Poitras and Snowden did the program. It's a documentary video by Bill Binney. John Barlow was involved in the VP Algae Systems treatment of wastewater. Barlow and General Wesley Clark were together at the Burning Man. General Clark was an anti-Trumper. He actually supported the Clintons. And then the Anon says, I think the key is the media changing the narrative using Secure Drop, which is dictated heavily by Snowden. The big question is who controls Snowden? And if you understand anything of all these drops that are involved in this whole thing, this is the one you need to understand. Snowden was heavily involved in setting up and taking over and promoting Secure Drop. Secure Drop is an app that is used by newspapers to receive whistleblower and leaked information from people inside the intelligence community. And those stories eventually end up being published by newspapers. Well, Snowden is behind Secure Drop, and we know that Snowden also has worked for the CIA. And what Q has suggested in that whole series of posts was that Snowden was being used by the CIA, and that a lot of these people ended up dead. And Q is essentially asking Snowden, how long is it going to be before they kill you? In response to this post, Q said this: James Dolan, dead suicide. Aaron Schwartz, suicide. Kevin Paulson, he turned over Secure Drop to Freedom of the Press. John Perry Barlow was killed. Snowden, you are now a liability, right? So that's where Q at that time was trying to convince Snowden, you need to dump these clowns because they're eventually going to kill you. And I believe at that time, Q and his team, they were chasing Snowden, but they were also trying to flip Snowden to become a good guy so that they could use him to expose the corruption that was going on in the deep state. All right. So the Anon reposted this post right here, and that's this post. It's all in this black text. And when you take something from qmap.pub, it's all black with charcoal letters, and it's really hard to read. So I'm not going to read all of this because I don't think it's really important to read all of it. What is important is Q's response. Q wrote this. It's really simple. We made it public. The operation was closed and cleaned. Was it a coincidence that that happened post-drop after Q had mentioned all this? Was it a coincidence that no name, John McCain, died exactly 30? That was a month after Q posted about him. Is it a coincidence that Senator Graham has been activated? In the end, you'll be shocked to learn what you've essentially witnessed. Think New York City bomber, fireworks, hours prior, where we go one, we go all. Q is simply stating that after he had mentioned all this information about Secure Drop, John Perry Barlow, Freedom of the Press Foundation, that was all cleaned up, but it was done after Q had been posting about it for several weeks. And on July 25th, Q posted this image with John McCain with his hands up and said, "No name," returning to the headlines. That was at 4:28 on July 25th. Exactly 1 month later, on August 25th, at exactly 4:28, John McCain was pronounced dead. So that is what Q is referring to there. Q asked about Lindsey Graham being activated after McCain decided not to run for office. This is a drop from April 30th. No name out now. This is a tweet by Lindsey Graham. We love good singers, Q. On December 10th, Q posted this, false flags. The president is 100% insulated. Expect fireworks, justice, Q. And then the following morning, a terror suspect detonated a bomb, pipe bomb, inside of a tunnel in New York City. So Q is simply telling us that as we follow his posts, we are watching this news happen. And in many cases, we're getting a heads up on it weeks or months ahead of time. And Anon made this comment about Christine Blasey Ford's testimony before Congress. Ford should go down for perjury. And Q posted this. Refused to hand over her therapist's notes to the FBI. Think why. Justice Kavanaugh was never named. Now, in brackets, we have Mr. X was logged in a book along with a physical description during an eyes-closed session, which equals Justice K. FBI doesn't have subpoena power, no grand jury, to demand those documents be turned over. Justice Kavanaugh was never named or asked about during the polygraph. Q says something did happen to Dr. Ford in her past. Use of that something was used to frame Justice Kavanaugh. Dr. Ford's family has strong ties to the swamp. People have been sending me messages now for days about her father's connection to the CIA and other connections to the swamp. The FBI has expanded the investigation into other suspicious acts with the support of the three-letter agencies, DOJ, probably NSA, as authorized by the president. Was Rod Rosenstein involved? That is a very good question. No one's really talked much about Rosenstein's involvement in all this, but that would be interesting to know. I would like to really quickly take a short detour because this just came out and it's relevant to what we're talking about. So let me read this to you. This is a letter that Chuck Grassley sent to Christine Blasey Ford's attorneys. And I write to renew my request for material evidence relevant to allegations of sexual assault made by your client, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. During the hearing last week, Senator Kamala Harris argued that it was only fair for senators on the committee to see the evidence that witnesses were being asked to address. The same principle applies to this request. Your continued withholding of material evidence, despite multiple requests, is unacceptable, as the Senate exercise its constitutional responsibility of advice and consent for a judicial nomination. I urge you to comply promptly with my request. And he's got four requests here. I'm going to read the first one. First, I renew my request for the notes from the therapy sessions in which Dr. Ford discussed the alleged assault by Judge Kavanaugh. The Washington Post reported that some notes were provided to the Post, and Dr. Ford's testimony indicated that these notes were highly relevant to her allegations. These notes have been repeatedly cited as corroboration, even while written 30 years after the alleged event, and in apparent contradiction with testimony and other public statements regarding several key details of the allegations, including when the alleged attack occurred, how many individuals were present in the bedroom in which the attack was alleged to have occurred, and how many individuals attended the party. Your previous response to this request, that these records contain private, highly sensitive information that is not necessary for the committee to assess the credibility of Dr. Ford's testimony, is not justified. Based on the fact that this material has been presented as a key component supporting allegations made by your client, including the presentation made to the Washington Post. Second, I renew my request for copies of all audio or video recordings produced during the course of Mr. Hanifin's polygraph examination of Dr. Ford, as well as all polygraph charts and other data that Mr. Hanifin relied on during preparing this report. I made the requests both before and during the hearing, but have yet to receive them. Dr. Ford cited the results of this polygraph examination to support her allegations. It's unfair to rely on the results of a polygraph examination while withholding the material necessary to assess the accuracy of the results. The full details of Dr. Ford's polygraph are particularly important because the Senate Judiciary Committee has received a sworn statement from a longtime boyfriend of Dr. Ford's stating that he personally witnessed Dr. Ford coaching a friend on a polygraph examination. When asked under oath in the hearing whether she'd ever given any tips or advice to someone who was planning on taking a polygraph, Dr. Ford replied, "Never." This statement raises specific concerns about the reliability of her polygraph exam results. The Senate therefore needs this information. Third, I renew my request for copies of any and all written, audiovisual, or electronic materials relating to the allegations raised by Dr. Ford against Judge Kavanaugh that Dr. Ford or her representative previously provided to any reporter or anyone else at a media organization. On the eve of our Thursday, September 27 hearing, you provided a single screenshot of Dr. Ford's WhatsApp correspondence with the Washington Post tip line. But Dr. Ford testified the next day that she had continued her conversation under the encrypted app with a reporter. Your failure to provide the entirety of Dr. Ford's correspondence with the Post again suggests a lack of candor. That the Senate is not a court of law does not change the reality that Dr. Ford's allegations have put Judge Kavanaugh on trial before the nation. A sitting federal judge and Supreme Court nominee has been accused of committing a violent crime. Dr. Ford, to her credit, offered her testimony to the Judiciary Committee, notwithstanding attempts at obstruction by her attorneys and Senate Democrat leadership. The testimony hinges on evidence to which Dr. Ford has repeatedly referred, some of which has already been provided to a nationally circulated newspaper, but which you have refused to provide to the Senate. If it is necessary to protect certain records from public disclosure, then I'm happy to discuss how to achieve that goal. And I can certainly understand, in light of the Democrats' betrayal of Dr. Ford's desire for confidentiality, that she may hesitate to trust such an arrangement. Still, these records are central to the credibility of Dr. Ford's allegations and must be produced. Please provide the requested materials to the Senate Judiciary Committee immediately. Sincerely, Chuck Grassley. And now I would like to read the letter that Grassley refers to, which is written by Christine Blasey Ford's ex-boyfriend. A couple of things are redacted from this document. I, name redacted, am a current resident of name redacted city, California. I first met Christine Blasey, now Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, in 1989 or 1990 in California. From 90 to 91, I was just friends with her. From approximately 92 to 98, I was in a relationship with Dr. Ford. I found her truthful and maintained no animus towards her. During our time of dating, Dr. Ford never brought up anything regarding her experience as a victim of sexual assault, harassment, or misconduct. Dr. Ford never mentioned Brett Kavanaugh. During some of the time we were dating, Dr. Ford lived with Monica L. McLean, who I understood to be her lifelong best friend. During that time, it was my understanding that McLean was interviewing for jobs at the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office. I witnessed Dr. Ford help McLean prepare for a potential polygraph exam. Dr. Ford explained in detail what to expect, how polygraphs worked, and helped McLean become familiar and less nervous about the exam. Dr. Ford was able to help because of her background in psychology. Dr. Ford and I lived together while we were dating and stayed together in a long-distance relationship when Dr. Ford moved to Hawaii sometime around 1998, although I'm not sure of the particular year, and it might have been a bit earlier or later. While visiting Ford in Hawaii, we traveled around the Hawaiian Islands, including one time on a propeller plane. Dr. Ford never indicated a fear of flying. To the best of my recollection, Dr. Ford never expressed a fear of closed quarters, tight spaces, or places with only one exit. I assisted Dr. Ford with finding a place to live in, name redacted, of a city in California. She ended up living in a very small 500 square foot house with only one door. Despite trying to maintain a long distance relationship, I ended the relationship once I discovered that Dr. Ford was unfaithful while living in Hawaii. After the breakup, I took her off the credit card we shared, but nearly a year later, I noticed that Dr. Ford had been charging the card and charged about $600 worth of merchandise. When confronted, Dr. Ford said she did not use the card, but later admitted to the use after I threatened to involve fraud prevention. I didn't speak again to Dr. Ford until about 2002, when Ford contacted me briefly. After that, I hadn't thought much about her until I saw her story in the Washington Post on Sunday, September 16th, 2018. I do not want to become involved in this process or current investigation, but wanted to be truthful about what I know. And then there's a signature, name is redacted, and this letter is dated today, October 2nd. So that is the current breaking news on Judge Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford's testimony against him. Getting back to our Q thread, Q posted this yesterday. There's a link to a video, and Q directs us to the 9-minute mark. We will be voting this week, heading to Tennessee now, Q. That is in reference to this video featuring Mitch McConnell. and let you listen to that.
And so let me make it very clear. The time for endless delay and obstruction has come to a close. Judge Kavanaugh's nomination is out of committee. We're considering it here on the floor. And Mr. President, we'll be voting this week.
I saw an article published by The Hill today that says the FBI's preliminary investigation has been completed. I would imagine that probably means that the main part of their investigation, looking into any current allegations against Judge Kavanaugh, is probably done. I'm guessing they'll probably be looking into any kind of extenuating circumstances that they may have found during the investigation. And Anon posted this: what time is the rally in Tennessee tonight? This is actually last night, Eastern time. Q responded, does POTUS normally tweet heading to X prior to a rally? Today, for the first time, we identified where we would be. Reconcile. Q. If you're curious what that's all about, this Anon said, Q is saying that Trump normally tweets when he is going. Today, he didn't. Q posted where he's going. And that is Q's post from about 2:30 in the afternoon that said they would be going to Tennessee. And if you need a little more evidence, here we go. One of the Anons did a little bit of looking, and sure enough, September 29th, heading to West Virginia now, tweeted by the president. On August 4th, heading to Ohio. On July 26th, heading to Dubuque. On July 24th, heading to Missouri. It is the president's habit to tweet where he's going before a rally, but yesterday, Q got the honor of doing that. One of the Anons posted a flag and said, thank you, Q. Q responded, God bless you, Patriot. Q posted this today, are you registered to vote on November 6th? These people are sick. And there's a link to a New York Post article about the Pentagon receiving a letter, a package that tested positive for ricin. There was actually two packages sent. There's actually three packages sent. One that was sent to General Mattis. One was sent to the head admiral of the Navy. And there was actually a third envelope that was tainted with ricin that was intercepted by the Secret Service. It was addressed to the president. So some people are not real happy, and they're trying to injure important people in the government. But Q has said, we are ready when you are, and this is not a game. One of the Anons posted this, Q, me and mine stand behind you to the end. Say the word. We've been preparing a long time, and we're ready. We're here to help you however we can. You know who this is. God bless you, and God bless POTUS. Q responded, darkest days. Amen, brother. This evil must be destroyed. Always darkest before the dawn. One of the Anons responded, burned, disabled amputee veteran. Wife and I are ready. My injuries will be worth it when we overthrow this evil. AATW. I believe that means airborne all the way. He responded, no words, Patriot. Allow us to carry this heavy burden. Trust your fellow man. We will win. God bless you and your family. Q. A couple of the Anons responded, Trips confirmed that post is from 666 burned Anon. Spooky. I was injured beyond repair as a child. Could never serve. My family has, though. I will serve any way I can. This Anon said, from one disabled vet to another, you are an absolute patriot. Thank you for your service. And thank you for your sacrifice, my brother in arms. This Anon said, your sacrifice will never be ignored like how it has been in the past. New world. And this one said, God bless you and your family. This Anon said, we love you, Q. Just having something to fight for and someone to fight with has given us all hope and purpose. The work we do for our cause is a sacred mission. Any service you need of me, I'll give my all to fulfill it. God bless you and POTUS, our great military, and all the faithful patriots working to free our world from this evil. And this Anon chimed in, serving the best way we can here. Solely out of curiosity, do you know each of us, the patriots and the shills alike? Any of our more frequent shills named in a sealed indictment? Well, that would be interesting to know. Q posted this, Save America, vote Republican. And this was posted on the Patriots fight board, was later removed. Their symbolism will be their downfall, and this is a Reddit premium ad with all kinds of odd, creepy symbols. I'm not going to go too much into that. A Q supporter tweeted out that I was just told by Secret Service that I can't come inside the stadium wearing a Q shirt. And Q responded, VIP Patriots, they, the enemies of the president, call in threats prior to each rally in an effort to diminish the reach of the message. All for a LARP. When one shirt is not enough, two becomes a solution. I am not telling you to break the law. I'm not telling you to do anything illegal. But I think he was suggesting that if you want to wear a Q shirt into a rally, wear another shirt over it and then take it off when you get inside. But if you get stopped by the Secret Service or busted, it wasn't because of me. Never violate your conscience. Never do anything illegal, unethical, or immoral. Q posted a link to a video. This is a video that has posted a number of times before. It is a speech of President Reagan, and due to copyright laws, I can't put it on here. Q then posted this, 53-47, Q. I believe Q is calling the vote on Justice Kavanaugh. Will future proof passed? I guess we'll see if we have a vote this week. I hope that your Red October is splendid. So be encouraged, Patriots. Keep us in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. Thank you for your support. Thank you for sharing this on social media. That is all I have for you on this update. This is Prairie Medic signing off. I will catch you on the next broadcast.